Hey there, if you're thinking about getting out there on the road with the big rigs and driving a rig, an RV, or even a bus, then have we got great news for you.
Southwest Truck Driver Training can get you trained and rolling in as little as 4 weeks. They offer lifetime job placement support. They have special military programs, a financial aid program, including grant applications, and so much more to offer you.
Plus, they are family owned business right here in the Southwest. They have world-class training for Class A and B CDLs, hazmat endorsement training, RV training, and of course a refresher course if you need one. And did we mention they have three locations, which are Phoenix, Tucson, and North Las Vegas?
So we don't know why you're sitting there channel surfing on a TV when you could be learning to drive and roll down the road to earning a great living today.
Go to their website, SWTDT.com, to learn more about Southwest Truck Driver Training to shift your career into high gear.
Tell them you heard about them on the 18 Wheel Talk podcast show. We love them. You will too. Welcome to the 18 Wheel Talk podcast show.
We're a podcast for truckers, about truckers, by truckers.
Coaching generations of drivers while guiding them on their path to success.
Fueling them with knowledge and passion for trucking.
Navigating the industry one mile at a time. Spark a revolution.
I don't know what rabbit hole you're talking about.
Amazon?
Well, yeah. That's a big rabbit hole.
Like an elephant hole.
That is. That's about as big as the Grand Canyon. Welcome to the 18 Wheel Talk podcast show.
Yes, welcome.
Hey, we're a podcast for truckers, about truckers, by truckers.
We're coaching generations of drivers while guiding them on their path to success.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
We also fueling them with knowledge and passion for trucking.
And we're navigating the industry 1 mile at a time.
That is so cool.
What gives us the right to do that, Patrick?
Well, if people might ask themselves, why you two?
Hey.
You know what? You want to know why us?
Yeah.
A, we're funny. B,
We're two
retired truck drivers.
Yeah.
And C, combined, we have over 40 years experience in the industry. That's why.
This is true. A, B, C. Uno, dos, tres.
You don't get D. You don't get diddity.
Everybody knows A plus B
equals
E.
Kitty cats.
Okay.
Yeah. Woohoo.
Woohoo. What are we talking about today, Patrick?
What are we talking about today?
Knowing your load.
Okay. My mind just went in a gutter. Sorry.
Your
trailer load.
Trailer load. Yeah. As in what you're hauling behind.
Know what's in your damn truck.
When you're driving down the road.
Yes.
I've never done this.
Load. Yeah, I know, right?
I'm more of a...
Yeah. Yeah, laid back. Yeah,
you know. Laid back. My hand's always...
Speaking of which, when you drove, did you hand on top of the wheel or down at the bottom of the wheel?
You mean when I actually gripped it?
Yeah.
At the bottom.
Yeah, always. Yeah, I always have
at
my hand...
At the bottom.
Two fingers. Yeah, two fingers on the wheel.
Yeah.
Something like, you know, like a little two finger grip. Yeah, like a tiger claw.
It was like that.
Yeah.
You know who taught me that?
Who?
My Aunt Fern.
Oh.
She did that when she drove.
Yeah.
She wasn't a truck driver, but she taught me that.
So the trucks that I drove, it was either, if I was left-handed, it was like on the left side because I had my elbow on the door, so I was holding the left side of the wheel with the claw hook.
You didn't have an armrest? On the left side?
Some did, some didn't.
Oh, okay.
If I was in a day cab, it was the hand on the window edge. Yeah, I know.
My face just went all
I know, right? A day cabber.
What? I drove that for a while.
And then if I had my, if the left arm got tired and I switched over, the right arm was on the armrest and holding the right side of the wheel. It's kind of hard to hold the left side of the wheel, but I could do it. Oh, drive like this.
Hey.
Ho.
Hey.
Ho.
Yeah, I know. I went there.
Yeah.
I
like this new ticker tape we got going down
here.
Yeah,
I do too. I typically had my seat all the way up because I like the cush.
Not me. I'm low and slow.
Two fingers, left hand, because I had a good armrest.
Yeah.
And right hand was either resting on the armrest or resting sometimes on the shifter.
And then you had your left foot up on the windowsill, airing out?
No.
Have you seen people drive like that?
Yes.
I don't know how they do it.
Well, I know how they do it. I will sit in a parking lot at a dock like that.
Yes, yeah, I can't.
But I will not
that
drive. That's easy. Pilates, baby, Pilates.
I'm not a Pilates kind of guy.
Well,
I tell everybody when they first meet me, you may think I'm a nice guy now, but wait a minute, wait a few times, you'll find out I'm an asshole.
I'm not going down this road with you, but
why?
We both know that I know Pilates and can put my feet on the dash.
Yes, dear.
Anyway.
Yeah, you've left footprints on the moving truck.
Yes, and on the windshield. Anyway, I know people who drive
I know people
barefoot.
Too.
Foot on the dash, that's a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah.
Anyway, I will not discuss her.
I will not discuss her in this podcast show.
Yes.
It's at least not this episode.
Yeah, I got to do this right now. I'm worn.
What?
The fan's off. I don't know if I want the shirt on or off, so it's halvesies.
Halvesies. In and out.
Anyway, I do have another shirt on if you're not watching. If you're listening, yeah. Janet is dressed.
Yeah, it does sound like Janet took her shirt off, but no.
No. There's.
Hey, if you want to find out, just go to 18wheeltalk.com/YouTube.
And you'll see my shirt and my manicure.
And I believe this is episode 66.
Could be. Maybe.
It's 60-something. It's a high
60s. There
60.
We go. So.
High 60s.
Back to the subject at hand.
Anyways, don't forget to follow us.
There's on a little, social
we got,
media.
We got a new little ticker here.
We're everywhere, like subwoofer.
Follow us on social media everywhere, at the @18wheeltalk. And look for the logo upper right-hand corner. Yeah, upper. Yeah.
Why do I always do that? Because I'm right-handed, probably.
Well, if.
Look for that.
If it was mirrored, you would have been right. But.
I'm left.
We don't have it mirrored because that would make everybody be like, what's going on?
No, it's right there.
Yeah.
I mean, it is over there,
this
too.
This logo right here.
It's over there, too. But yep. I always point with my right hand, and I should be pointing.
I don't know. But anyways, the logo is in the upper right-hand corner of the video.
See?
And
es bueno.
Look for that logo everywhere you are on social media. Twitter, Instagram.
Book of Face.
Facebook, YouTube.
Or as my dad called it, Tweety.
Yeah.
And Book of Face.
Tweetsville.
Tweetsville and Book of Face. Por favor.
And I believe we are on LinkedIn at
Yes, we are. I just haven't gotten together.
Yeah, the LinkedIn page is something that we started and it just kind of faded. It's just there.
It will be updated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We just got to update it. We're behind on the times.
On my honor, I swear, as a Girl Scout.
Yeah, you're brown.
I was a Girl Scout.
Yeah, but you started out as a
brownie. I was a brownie. I was a Girl Scout, and I'm a veteran. I promise to get that shit together this
year.
All
right, get your shit going. Look at you swearing on this episode. You said shit.
Shit.
You even went all Southern on it.
I went all shit.
It was Southern shit.
That's because I was talking about my Aunt Fern and my dad, both of who had a drawl.
A drawl, eh?
All I got to do is talk to my cousin Mikey. You want to hear me? Yeah, when I talk to him, get off the phone with him, I'll be like, yo, how y'all doing?
Hey, by the way, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if this button's working or not, but
let's try.
We got a new, yes, it is. We got a new email.
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to email the show, email us your question.
At?
Email us at the hosts. That's HOSTS. The hosts at 18wheeltalk.com.
You know what that means, right?
What's that?
I'm finally official.
Oh, you've been a host.
But I didn't have my email connected.
Yeah. Well, now we have the host, THEHOSTS at 18wheeltalk.com.
Why, bless your soul, Patrick. I do appreciate that.
Hey, I got off my ass and did something.
You do a lot. It just, that one was like a little.
I wanted to make sure you really wanted to be a part of the show.
That was like a spur.
A spur? You know,
like
a little thorn in your side?
Thorn in my saddle is what it was. My horse didn't
appreciate it. That was a burr. Yeah. That was a burr.
You're going to have
to. If it was in your saddle, it was a burr.
So
anywho.
Back to know your
load.
All right.
So we're talking about your load. All right.
Trailer load.
And if you're unsure about the kind of load, it's the one coming out the back.
Of your trailer. Sweet baby Jesus, please help him.
Oh, this could go 100 times sideways. Anyways, we're talking about your trailer load.
What are you hauling? Do you know?
Yeah. What is your capacity?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you don't have a dash cam in your semi and you went and spent all that money on it, do you really think that you and your truck are protected against John Q. Public? We don't. That is why we recommend Rexing USA cameras and equipment. Whatever it is you are looking for, whether it be a dash cam, a body cam, a trail cam, or similar, they probably have it.
Nearly every new vehicle coming out has a dash cam, and there is a reason for it. Litigation. Yes, welcome to America, the land of litigation. So the best thing you can do is to protect what you own with video and pictures.
And their dash cams, boy, let me tell you, their cams do a lot. They have 170-degree ultra-wide-angle lenses that will automatically lock in the last video if it feels a vibration from an accident. It has a supercapacitor battery backup that is better than lithium for extreme heat or cold. Add in loop recording, a mobile app, and parking monitoring, and more.
And yes, now you have a really great package for this company of cameras. So come on, check it out at 18wheeltalk.com/dashcam. That's 18wheeltalk.com/dashcam. Do you know how much you can haul? Do you know how to figure it out?
How do you do it?
Know the weight of your truck. That's the first step.
Okay. And that would be full of fuel, full of DEF fluid if you got one of those.
Mm-hmm. With?
Empty trailer.
Yeah. A little bit of simple math.
Yeah, a little bit. However, you know maximum weight, truck, trailer, fuel, and everything, you cannot exceed 80,000 pounds.
That also includes you,
yep, you,
any pets you have with you, mm-hmm. Food, clothes, extra coolers, refrigerators, TVs, et cetera.
So anyways, there's a thing called a CAT scale at just about every truck stop in America.
Yeah, and that's how you weigh your load.
Roll up on it, get an empty weight so you know that if you're finding yourself a load and you're say, at 36,000 pounds, simple math is 36 minus, you know, from 80,000.
80 minus 36.
You're allowed XYZ. 2 equals pi squared. I'm not doing the math. You're the math. Go ahead.
Nope, not me today.
36 minus 80,000 minus 36. Come on.
What's 80 minus 40?
Come on. Do it.
44.
All right. There you go. So you can haul 44,000 pounds worth of stuff in the back of your trailer.
Unless you have an overload.
Yeah, unless you're permitted.
And then it's a whole new game.
Then you got a whole special route and yada, yada, yada.
Special extra axles, and sometimes you got flagmen ahead of you and people with signs.
Escorters.
And escorts and police.
Oh, really? You're going foreign on us?
Sorry, policemen. Anyway.
Anyways.
So
go to a CAT scale, get your empty weight. This way you at least know
how to weigh your
hey,
load.
Hey, look. You
this
know,
is how much
I know,
can haul.
I know. Roughly, all right, if I had a full tank of gas, a full tank of fuel, excuse me, it's not gas, it's fuel.
I almost spit out my hot tea, which is a little too hot.
If you had a full tanks Ooh. Of fuel and all your liquids are topped off, that would be, if you're hauling a reefer, make sure your reefer tank's full.
Yep.
Because that's going to count towards your empty weight. Even though, as you go down the road, you're going to burn that off, okay? So you can kind of play around, you know.
You want to start with it full, especially if, say, you're in Erie, Pennsylvania on I-90, if you fill up there and you're going westbound, there's a CAT scale right inside, or a DOT scale right inside Ohio.
Always.
And they're always open. I never saw them close, ever.
Those lights are always on. Wait, no. I did go through there once. I think it was closed.
I never did. And
once.
I hauled a reefer.
And I pulled in and used the restroom. And I was like, damn, it's closed.
Yeah, and I hauled a reefer and fueled in Erie. So it was like, oh.
Oh, no.
I always made sure that my load wasn't over a certain weight because I always knew I was going to get scaled right there.
I always hated those the chicken coop there and right as soon as you cross into Maryland. That huge mother, man. It had three garages. It'll tear your truck apart. Then tell you, all right, you're good. Put it back together again.
You know, so let me tell you a quick story, okay?
All right.
It's story time.
I think we got time.
So I happened to comment to my father one time.
Okay.
He says, what are you going to do if you're, say, 1,000 pounds over? And I said, well, you know, I'll flash a little TNA. Not the truck stop.
What are you talking about?
Little TNA. Titty and ass.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Flirt a little. I told my dad I'm going to flirt a little.
We're explicit. We're not X-rated.
Oh, you're X-rated all the time. So I told my dad this. You know, my father doesn't swear, doesn't cuss, but he was the biggest flirt on earth. The only person I know that flirts as much as him is probably my brother John.
Uh-huh.
He was like the epitome of my dad. But anyway.
Anywho.
My dad, even in his 80s, could pull into a truck stop. Yes, he drove that far up in his life. And flirt with every waitress, whether she was 16 or 60.
What?
And they all appreciated him.
Hey.
So I told him that. So he says to me, he looks at me, we're eating dinner at a truck stop. And he says, what are you going to do if it's a woman, a female cop? I said, flirt harder.
Make sure my nipples are hard.
I didn't say that. I said flirt harder and longer.
I'm just going to flirt a little harder.
A little bit more.
A little more.
I said, I'm just going to tell maybe her how she cute goes she that looks way. And maybe her hair looks great. And oh, my God.
Talk about her shoes.
No.
Make
talk
sure.
About how hard women work to keep up with men for less pay and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Preach it, sister.
I was. Anyway. My dad laughed at me.
Yeah.
So, anyway. That's
all right.
Dad DOT
all right.
Story
time over.
Yes.
Nice. Thanks, Dad.
Thank you, Daddy.
All right. So where were we? All right. So we did CAT scales.
Now we're going to talk about how to find a load.
So now you have your empty weight, and now you need to put something in the back. If you're an owner op and you got to find your own load, otherwise you got a dispatcher that's going to tell you, hey, go here, pick up a load.
Or say you're a company driver and your dispatcher says, hey, you're going to go empty for 600 miles and you're not going to make diddly squat. Some companies will, especially if they're small, they will allow you, if you can find a load, they will allow you to give the dispatcher a call and say, hey, can you get an authorization so I can pull this load to that town instead of going empty there? I can, it's available. I could pick it up in a couple hours and I can still be on time for my next load.
Yep.
I was lucky enough to have one of those companies.
Yeah, if you do. If not, well, yeah.
So
anyways, there's ways to find loads. Most, at least back when we were driving, you could walk into a truck stop and they'd have a load board.
But we've got an upcoming episode specifically on how to find loads.
We're definitely going to, touch base deeper into this. But there are apps out there that you could use. That'll help you find a load and track loads. And there's, like I said, load boards at truck stops. There's
all sorts of there's everything. I'm not going to go into it right now, though.
Excuse me.
It's a whole different thing.
I apologize.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
So you say you like tools. Now, are we talking about normal people like them or Tim the Toolman Taylor like them? Because if you're like the two of us, it is definitely in the Tim the Toolman Taylor's range. I have never been bored when shopping for tools.
So here's what you do. Head on over to 18wheeltalk.com/JBTools. It will take you to their site, which will normally give you a discount, a chance in a giveaway, join the rewards club, or something really great like that.
Then start browsing to your heart's delight. Whether you're looking for power tools, hand tools, 25-ton jack stands, or gardening tools, they have got you covered.
So take a few minutes to follow the link, 18wheeltalk.com/JBTools, and jewel over a few tools while you're there.
The horror.
I know. So, right? But yeah, we got.
Once you got your load,
tune in. Be sure to subscribe to our show. Subscribble. So that way you don't miss out on any of this new stuff we got coming out, because we are for truckers, about truckers, by truckers. You know, and we're two retired truckers. We've been in it in the industry for combined 40 plus years. So
at least 400 or 500 or something like that.
We know a little about a little.
Mm-hmm. So.
So we're spreading our knowledge.
You got your load. What is your load? How do you know what your load is?
Well, there's a thing called a bill of lading.
Really?
Yeah. You got a bill of lading over there? What, did you drill on your thing?
No, I had a hair on it. I got a bill. I got a sample bill of lading. See?
Yeah, I got one too.
Wonder where you got that from.
Look at that. Bill of lading. It has, yes, has the shipper's name.
Ship
where
from,
you going it.
Ship to.
Who's carrying it.
And third party freight charges are billed too.
So that's just.
It has things like your bill of lading number, the carrier name.
Basic information that you're going to need that if heaven forbid, you get DOT'd, they're going to want to see your bills.
So some of the things about your bill of lading, mm-hmm, don't skip, don't cheat, don't abbreviate in abbreviations that only you know.
Right.
If it's a common abbreviation, like the ampersand for the at sign,
yep,
that's fine. But if it's some squiggly little that you only know, or your family's the only one that know, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You want something that
DOT will
DOT can look at it and say, oh, you know, Janet at 18 Wheel Talk or Patrick at 18 Wheel Talk authorized this load.
Yep. Yep, yep.
And quantity, make sure the quantity is legible. Make sure the units are legible. Make sure the weights. If it's neat. Fill it out in your best handwriting, your best printing.
Most of the time,
they're pre-filled.
Most of the time, the bill of lading's pre-filled out because they know what's going in that specific order block.
Correct.
So usually, if you're going to get 40 pallets of something, make sure you got all 40 pallets on your truck.
Yeah. Don't close the doors and then find out you were missing two. I know someone that, you know, of course, same somebody.
Get up in the back of that before you pull away from the dock. When they're done loading, they're going to hand you your papers. Hop in the back. You got to secure
your load.
It. Check your load.
Yeah, there are actually people that think that the dock workers are supposed to check your load and secure your load.
Oh, no. No, they get paid to load it and unload
it.
That's it. You secure and unsecure it.
Yeah.
End of story.
So, do you want to read the FMCSA rules? States.
All right. The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Association. Okay. That's FMCSA or DOT. Okay.
Well, the Department of Transportation is part of it.
They're part of it. All right. So they state that there must be one tie down for articles 5 feet or less in length,
mm-hmm,
and 1,100 pounds or less in weight.
Okay.
All right. There must be two tie downs for articles greater than 5 feet and less than 10 feet, regardless of weight.
So
I hold... When I hauled flatbed, I hauled coils.
That's a whole different strap down.
Okay. And then there was two ways you could situate them on the back of your trailer. There's suicide.
The wrong way.
There's suicide and shotgun. Suicide is if I don't secure it right and I stop quick, it rolls over the cab. All right? Front to back. Shotgun is rolls off the sides of the truck.
The right way.
I always loaded suicide because I could strap it better. I could lock it down more. So if I got a 50,000 pound coil, I can put 8 strap downs.
That's true. I mean, it is the easy way to get things locked in. But if you don't lock it down really good, it's called suicide for a reason.
You know, one of the guys that I got to meet through the company I worked for, I'm not going to say the name because they're no longer around.
Anyway.
Anyways. He was in an accident, and ended up in an embankment. But the way, because of how secured he secured his coil, he might have been leaning on the side, but the coil was still on the trailer when they stood that sucker up.
Well,
he even showed me pictures. I was like, how the? And he says, it's just the way I secured it. And this is how. And I learned from him. He was one of my trainers.
That's just like when my trainer, when I hauled oil and gas, got cut off on a downhill curve and rolled into the ditch on a downhill curve with six oil.
Oof.
80,000 loaded, overweight.
Yeah, but you guys are permitted for overweight.
Yes, but he still got cut off by a guy that passed him downhill on a curve.
Duh.
And then stopped to make a left-hand turn.
Of course. Yeah, everybody's in more of a hurry than the big truck.
Anyway, he ended up going down into the ditch on the side, and you would think there was six oil everywhere. But because he knew how to lock everything down properly, and not all the drivers did, nothing went anywhere, and road was two-lane highway.
Right.
Backed up for 10, 20 miles each direction.
They just had to get him out of the ditch.
And the cops came looking for me, because I was on the way back from where we were loading, and unloading, I mean. Came looking for me, and I'm like, why do you want me? You're going to unload the trailer upside down.
What?
That's what I said.
I'm going to do what?
Well, and...
Yeah, I mean, you guys knew what you were
doing. We knew what we were doing, and three tow trucks picked him up and started lifting him from the side as I was hooked to the back.
Pumping it into mine
using my pump. And,
oh, wow.
And the lighter it got, the more... upright his truck got.
That's why they needed to get some of the load off so they could stand him up.
We got most of it off, about 85% of it off to get him towed back to the terminal. But it was amazing.
So anyways, you got to know your load, know how heavy you are, know how big it is. Usually, you know, pallets are, what, five feet?
Yeah, just about. They're about 4.5 by 4.5.
And the rule, I think the rule is for every six. Is it every six pallets bar?
Oh, it just depends on your load.
Yeah, well, like I said, if you got 40 pallets going in.
Yeah, no, we did it a lot shorter than that every company I was with.
I used to do every two.
I wasn't with a lot of companies.
Two deep.
Yeah.
So every four pallets, there was a load bar.
Yeah. Or a strap or something. It was two deep because we were, you know, too wide. So two deep. And it was the same when I hauled cherries in barrels. We did two deep and straps because they were barrels double high.
Most of this is common sense. Some people don't have it, but most of it is common sense. If you feel safer
putting more on.
You got them, use them.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Well, and to give you an idea, when I hauled with the over-the-road company, because sometimes I usually hauled pallets, but sometimes I hauled like barrels of Bing cherries. Bing cherries from Michigan. Oh, my God. Anyway, I went out and bought six load bars of my own, painted them pink so everyone knew they were mine. And we still have them, and we still have the straps about. I bought a bunch of extra straps to strap loads down because I wasn't going to be the one that, you know, lost all their cherries on the road.
Yeah, right.
Because they did not supply you with enough because they did not really have enough because we had a driver that worked for the company that lost everything.
No.
And every time I would come out of my truck after sleeping at the terminal, I would have to go back into his trailer and grab all of my pink handled straps and pink load bars.
The
guys at the dock would refuse to load him and strap it down with my stuff. They're like, no, that's Janet's, leave it be.
Yeah, no, that don't belong to you.
That's not yours. She paid cash for that.
Yeah,
her money.
Those are hers,
so
not yours.
Make sure you're strapping, and if you have to buy your own, some companies reimburse, some don't. But if you have to buy your own, it's worth the money if you're in it for the long haul. The company I worked for did buy my load bars from me.
Gotcha.
I didn't give up my straps, though.
So in addition, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Association created requirements for securement for the following commodities. Okay. And I believe you got this from their website?
Yeah, this is straight off of their website. Logs and dressed lumber, which has already been cleaned and formed.
All right. So then you got metal coils, paper rolls, and concrete pipes.
Mm-hmm.
I did metal coils. I did all sorts of metal coils. I did upright suicide. I did flat on pallets. I had doubled coils. I've always loaded, if they were up and down, not on a pallet, I always loaded my coil suicide.
Yeah, I didn't do any of those three items.
The only reason why I did it that way was the fact that it was it was the best way for me to be able to add securement to it to keep it from moving.
Yep.
And the ones on the pallets, when they're on a pallet,
it's a little easier.
Strap over the top of it.
Yeah.
And wrench, and one behind the pallet to keep the pallet from moving.
Yeah.
Because they were banded to the pallets.
Next is intermodal containers. The rest of the world knows them as shipping containers. They're the ones that can go from
the land sea containers.
Yeah. They go from
train cars.
Yeah. They go from a ship, a container ship that goes from, China to here or wherever.
Yeah.
The ones that were stuck in the port of L.A. for how many years?
Yeah, right. During COVID, the ones that were stuck out in the big boat? Yeah, those.
But those go from there to sometimes a train yard or to a semi and then a train yard.
Right.
And I hauled those around the port of Philly.
There was another name for those that we used to call them.
Well, shipping containers, what most people called them.
Yeah, we had a nickname for it. Because most flatbedders, usually are, come up and they got the special locks.
Yeah.
That would lock them on their flatbed. But we used to call them a different name.
We just called them shipping containers. Yeah. I hauled them, but anyway.
Anyways, they
go on those, they're special trailers, the rail trailers.
Yeah, rail trailers.
They just have rails, nothing else on it, just rails.
They lock into the little divots.
Rails, axles, and wheels, thank you, brakes.
Yeah, right.
So,
oh my God.
Automobiles, light trucks, vans, and flattened or crushed vehicles.
Yep.
That's a whole new ballgame, and I hauled those for Jerry I met down at Christie's.
They had the crushed ones there, you got a special netting over the top of them.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I've helped put some of those on. No, thank you.
I actually enjoyed it because I could monkey up on top of those trailers and net those suckers.
Yeah.
And I made a lot of good money for him doing that.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can make a decent living.
Yeah.
That was
fun.
Heavy vehicles, equipment, and machinery. Now, I hauled a lot of machinery-type equipment.
Yep.
Wasn't like bulldozers or anything like that, but I've hauled like big old conveyor belts, for like a bagel shop.
No.
Some of the machinery I hauled was like, I was like, what?
I've hauled some heavy equipment. My dad hauled a lot of stuff for the military, including some missiles.
That would have been cool. I bet he loaded that shotgun.
He loaded
aimed
it and they
straight up.
they told him it was a fake, that it wasn't
right.
No, they did. Uh-huh. And he kept getting followed by these guys, and he stopped at one truck stop and he grabbed one of them by the neck and he's like, "I don't know why you're following me, but knock it off." And he's like, "We're your security?" And he's like, "I don't need security. This shit's fake." And he's like, "No.
Like,
that is an armed warhead.
Actual like, one, buddy."
Okay. But my nephew, when he hauled heavy equipment, he at one point owned a truck and one of those great big Caterpillar backhoes,
right,
and did construction. So he would haul it to the site, take it off, do the work.
I wanted to get into doing the heavy hauls like that.
Yeah, that was pretty
cool. There was a company that hauled from Texas to Florida.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That would have been
nice route.
If I could have got onto that, I probably would have done that instead of 21 years at the medical waste company I did.
I got you.
So, but it fell through. It's okay. So, roll-off containers. Those are use them to throw garbage in.
Yeah, those are the ones that they deliver to residential sometimes, or apartment complexes. Or
construction workers use them.
Yeah,
a lot.
A lot.
I hauled a lot of roll-off containers.
Did you ever haul boulders?
No. I hauled burlap sacks full of alloy nuggets that I used to take to the Ford dealership in Michigan.
Why?
Because they used them to make their alloy rims.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Yep. Little alloy nuggets. I had some around here. There's some kicking around in a box that just ended up, you know, one or two fell out of the bag. And
miraculously?
No. When I got done unloading, I'm like, hey, when you want these? Yeah, keep them.
Oh, I gotcha.
You know, so I got a couple of souvenirs somewhere.
I gotcha.
But, oh, man, I used to love going to the Ford dealer. When you drove in,
mm-hmm.
there was this big, huge parking lot right alongside the rail track, and mm-hmm. they were loading, depending on the day of the week, depending on the type of cars they pushed out. At one time, there was like 300 Mustangs they were loading on the railroad cars.
Horses or cars?
Cars.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum. That was a sight to see. Any color of the rainbow you could think of, was there was a gazillion. I mean, there was a lot of Mustangs going in there. Then they had a lot of the pickup trucks. It was fun. I used to like it.
What was your favorite load to haul of everything you ever hauled?
I think it was the machinery I hauled to the bagel factory in New York City, because I had to go in at night.
Mm-hmm.
I had to call them when I was. There was a pull off. The direction said pull into the pull off, call the company, and then proceed.
Okay.
And there was a pull off two blocks before this bagel company.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called them and they said, okay, you can head on out. We got guys waiting for you. I said, okay, I'm on my way. And I pulled up and the guy was standing out there with those flashlights, and they had traffic all stopped. And he said, pull up back in under the building. I was like, do what?
Yeah.
He said, don't worry, we got traffic stop. We do this all the time. I said, cool. That was like the best. I walked out of there with like a dozen flavors of bagels. I was giving them away. That was the best. I got to tour the place while they unloaded. I was like, oh, this is awesome.
Well,
that was one of my favorites.
Yeah. Samples. I definitely liked Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Oh, God.
Because
yeah,
I used to bring home those nice little containers and fill my cooler and give them to my neighbors that took care of my house when I was gone.
Yum, yum.
And I also delivered to Godiva Chocolate and got samples of that.
I like chocolate.
Yeah.
I've never hauled large boulders. Have you?
No.
Oh, well. That makes two of us.
I never did boulders. Livestock's fun.
Yeah, like I said, I drove flatbed, so anything that can get put on a flatbed, I pretty much hauled it. And I worked for www.wetarpeverything.com. At least that was the joke going around with the company I worked for, because they tarp. Mm-hmm. There was stuff sitting in a snowbank that got put on my truck, and I had to tarp it because they paid for tarping. I went, bullshit, they did. This is rusty old fucking crap stuffed in a snowbank. And you want me to tarp it? You got it. I tear the tarp, you're buying me a new one.
Yeah, I definitely had favorite locations.
Yeah, there was a few locations I liked.
Definitely favorite locations, and I definitely liked pulling a reefer the best simply because the rhythm of the engine running.
Yep.
There's something about
the hum
that.
Of the motor.
The hum
yeah.
of the motor. And I would wake up in a heartbeat when it, like the couple times something
stops.
Went wrong.
When it stops.
Well, it cycles. And I would always know if it was cycling for some reason, even in my sleep. I'd know if it was cycling or if it failed.
It's either cycling or it says, not happening.
Well, and I seem to know that instinctively because I would.
Yeah, because you know your vehicle.
Something went wrong.
You knew your vehicle.
And I would get up, get dressed, pop out with my toolbox off the side and
because you don't want that ice
there,
cream melting.
Climb up there. Well, it's good for a while.
Oh, I know.
Climb up there and see if it's something that I could fix myself, which most of the time I could, or if I had to actually take it somewhere to get it worked on. And I think there was like maybe three times in the whole time that I had to have someone else work on it. So I was pretty good with them, but kind of grew up with engines. But
that's okay.
Yeah, anyway.
That's okay.
So
now go ahead. We did large boulders.
Yeah, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, they have specific instructions for everything on how they want it strapped down. And if you're ever in doubt, go on their website. It's going to tell you about it.
Yeah, we should be able to put a link in our show notes for it.
They're going to tell you how to secure your load, what number of load securements. All they're talking about is how many straps, how many bars, how many whatever. Like some companies put plywood between separate stops. Like if you've got five stops, you might have plywood with load bars between them or netting between them that's stretched across and hooked to the sides. You know, with the ratchet straps or, you know, everyone separates their loads differently. You just got to know the load and know the company, how they want it done and how the Motor Carrier Association, you know, how they want it done.
Right. I mean, the way I look at it is if it's secured so it can't move,
you should be good.
You should be fine. You know, I mean, do loads shift?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, they do. It happens. However, if you do the rule of thumb every so many hundred a mile, you know, I think it's every 100 miles, if you stop to pee, check the load.
Yeah.
That's usually was my rule.
Now,
every time I stop to use the restroom, I check my straps.
Load, yeah.
Check my straps, check my tarp.
And now, in a sealed trailer, obviously you can't do that.
No.
I will say, if you're hauling liquid,
okay,
tanker,
okay,
they don't, some places tell you this, some don't, and some people are just too stupid to realize common sense.
What?
If the speed limit going on a cloverleaf onto a highway, for instance, says 35 and you're loaded,
you're doing 15.
You're doing 15 because when you are in an 18-wheeler and you pick up 9 of those wheels, you're going to be really lucky if you don't roll down in the ditch.
You're going to be real lucky you don't poop your pants.
Yeah. Because it takes is a little breeze to take the other 9 and go, boop.
Now, I've lifted the wheels off the ground in a garbage truck coming around a little turn because it dipped down and then came right back up again. And I was like, whoa!
I made that mistake I just talked about. Yeah. One of the first times I did a solo run after I learned to haul fuel oil and six oil gas. And I mean, it just barely started to pick up. And I was like, whoop.
Yeah.
Took my foot right off. I didn't care
right
if I killed it. It's just like, no,
right
no,
off
not
the throttle,
me.
It's scary, man.
Yeah. And someone on CB said, hey, scared you there, didn't it, Blondie? I'm like, oh, shit.
Made
yeah.
my butthole pucker, sure did.
But yeah, there's some people that sit, they're like, oh, it'll come back down. I'm like, yeah, it might not come down on the rubber, but it'll come down.
It'll come down eventually.
So yeah, just make sure you're using what's available to you, to the tools that you have to secure your load. But a load that can't be secured because it's already secured by you inside, like a load that has the zip ties that are numbered, or metal ties
the
seals,
the door
or,
seal,
or if it's a liquid load like milk or gas or fuel.
Yep.
You just got to be extra careful. There's no two ways about it.
Yep. So now use ratchet straps and cargo nets. Mm-hmm. Ratchet straps allow the drivers to achieve the amount of torque needed to secure the load.
Yeah, if you break the strap, you over-torqued it.
Yeah, this is true.
Mm-hmm.
They're rated for a particular workload, so which is 1/3 of their braking strength.
Yeah. So if they're going to brake at 500 pounds or 450 pounds.
That's called tensile strength.
They're rated, the FMCA SA calls it.
Yeah.
Workload.
Yeah. Workload rate.
Yes. Anyway, so if they're rated at 450, they're going to give you 150 as the load. Sorry.
You're fine.
You were still talking.
No, you're fine.
So tie downs for a 500-pound item should have workload limit of at least 250.
Yeah. Well, I snorted at.
Our pug told us.
Yeah. You're early, sweetheart. It's not time.
We've got over an hour, honey bunny.
Yeah. Take a nap. Come on, get over here and take a nap.
There's what I just said, but I'll let you.
Make sure your load is balanced for hauling, turning, high winds, and of course, to the axle for DOT stops.
You know, balance it by the axle.
Yep. This is why if you're When I hauled flatbed, we had to go. Once we got loaded, we had to go and get cat scaled. We had to go to the nearest cat scale, get it weighed, and if it had to be shifted, we had to go back to the shipper and have them shift it.
So what some people don't realize is when you pull across a cat scale, you don't just like sit there and then go.
Yeah.
You pull up, you stop, you weigh, you pull up, you stop, you weigh, you know, by accident.
They tell you.
Yeah.
Cat scales, though, I think have the different sections. So
the older ones don't. There's still some old ones. I know of one that used to be in Springfield, Illinois at the...
I think it was a Flying Hook.
No, it's got a red...
Pilot? A Pilot?
No. Old.
Old. Ranger?
Ranger. No, something like that. Anyway, it's on the south side. Anyway.
Anyways.
It's off 55, and it's an older one. And their scale was the old style, where you had to pull up and stop, pull up and stop.
Put your front axles on it, put your back back axle of the tractor on it, then the trailer on it.
Yes.
That's a pain in the ass. But yeah, it can be done.
It can be done.
They know how to weigh it. Mm-hmm. So anyways.
So the next part we're talking about is knowing your load, checking the height of your load, and everybody's like, well, it can be 13.6.
Yeah, well, especially if you're pulling a flatbed, though.
Yeah, well, there's...
Or a step deck.
Yeah, a low boy.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of trailers. Everybody's like, no, there's just flatbeds.
There's flatbed, a step deck, a low boy, a gooseneck, a car hauler, a long hauler, a log hauler trailer. And the list goes on and on and on and on.
Curtain side, covered wagon. Some people say that's the same thing. It's not.
They're similar, but they're not. They're not. The covered wagon is a flatbed with hard sides and a tarped
top.
Like a covered wagon.
Yeah, and a curtain side.
It's a curtain side. It looks like a dry van with soft sides that can be slid.
The curtains. Pull back. It's exactly opposite of a covered wagon.
Yep. So there are plenty of different types out there, and believe me, it's like you got to know your height.
You don't just take that. You have to know where you're going.
Exactly. Know your
because
bridges.
You get out here and say Arizona, the desert, Southwest, Texas, New Mexico, etc. Bridges are like 20 foot tall. Mm-hmm. You go to Pennsylvania and you see a sign that said bridge height 8'8". It's not joking.
It's 8'8".
It's 8'8". It's not 8'8". And it really is 13. No, it's 8'8".
All right. Now, the rule of thumb when I was driving was, unless it was marked, the bridge is 14 feet in height.
Uh-huh.
If it was marked, then it's actual. Otherwise, it's 14 feet. Because I drove a lot of the, northeast. Of this country, and so a lot of bridges are marked in the Northeast because how they do it.
Well, and it's like you can be coming down a highway. I'm thinking of the one that goes through Clifton Park and towards where I used to live.
Yep.
Coming down a highway, it's four lanes. At some points, it's wider. You come off the main road, you're coming down the highway, you're thinking I can go straight onto that other highway, Route 50, and I'm all good. And it says, tractor trailers must turn in half a mile. Yep. Low bridge ahead.
Yep.
And you're thinking, what do you mean I got to turn in half a mile? Fine.
You got to go around the block.
Yeah. A tall pickup can't make it through there. A U-Haul can't make it through there if it's got the mother-in-law's.
Although I think they've changed it. I think they moved that bridge.
No, they didn't.
I thought they did.
There's two bridges there.
Yeah.
One bridge they fixed, the one with the railroad.
Yeah, they raised it.
They raised the one with the railroad. The one on the other side, the west side of the railroad, which is like maybe 100 foot beyond it, they were going to, and then they realized that it was considered a historic bridge.
Yeah,
They didn't.
That's right.
Because they couldn't.
You can't do that.
You can't change anything historic in most states, so they left it be. And they didn't just put up and arounds.
Yeah.
They make you drive 20 miles out of your way.
You go 20 miles this way to turn and go 20 miles this way just to turn and go 20. It's like NASCAR.
Yeah. So you can go 1 mile on the other side of the bridge.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know. It's a pain in the you-know-where.
And I've got pictures like from downtown Schenectady, New York, down by the train station. Mm-hmm. from a guy that didn't believe it when he saw the 12-foot bridge. And I happened to be in my car, and I took a picture of him going under it, like 10 pictures in a row. And you could see him start to go. The cab, the fin on the top of the cab, you know, the wind fin, starts to crush, and then he gets that stuck, and the trailer starts to squish. And yeah, I've got like a, I ran across those about a week ago.
Yeah, that's amazing what some people will do.
It's absolutely amazing.
All right. So where did we live? All right. So get it secured. Know your height. Know where you're heading. You know your route.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Driver, if you haven't tried any of Mother Trucker Yoga's products, have we got news for you. The news is you are missing out on some great products that really do work. So you're probably sore from a long day and just don't know where to even start looking, right?
Well, driver, stop right there. You don't have to wonder anymore. These products were all designed with the professional truck driver in mind. And the Stiff Mother Trucker Pain Relief Cream is 100% natural. As in, all the junk that you don't need on your body is not in it. It is paraben-free, gluten-free, sulfate-free, and artificial dye-free.
Probably made right here in the USA. Road-tested, trucker-approved.
It relieves sore muscles, soothes pain and inflammation from bee stings and insect bites. It calms that back pain from driving those long, hard roads, helps alleviate foot pain, helps reduce wrist pain, elbow pain, and stiffness in the neck and shoulders from poor sleep or overuse.
In other words, if your body is feeling bruised and bumped up from that ever-intensive truck driver life, then Stiff Mother Trucker Pain Relief Cream is the answer to what you are asking. Just ask the crew at A&E Shipping Wars. They will let you know.
So go to 18wheeltalk.com/resources and look for Mother Trucker Yoga to find this and many more great products. Yep. So what we did leave off is I had 2 pages of notes about the bill of lading.
Well, we could circle back to that.
Yeah.
A little thing.
So just to see if we missed anything.
So where's your load going? You know where your load is going. Know your route. And we're gonna go further in depth into some of this. On
upcoming episodes,
and so you don't want to miss that because we're 2 feet deep into the trucking industry. For truckers, about truckers, by truckers. So
yes,
if it has to do with trucks, guess what? We're going to yap about it. It might be an hour long episode. It might be a 20-minute episode, but we're going to talk about it. Yeah. You know, we're going to post a bunch of polls on our social media. So make sure you sign up. You know,
yeah, fill out the poll. Tell us your opinion.
We want to know. You know, if you got a question for us, ask us. Go to our website, 18wheeltalk.com. There's a tab right at the top of the page there. It says, Ask the Show. Ask us your question.
Please.
Hey, if we use it in a podcast show, I will be in touch with you and tell you, hey, we got an upcoming episode. We used your question. Yeah. We may even give you a prize for your question.
And if your question's good enough and you have a lot of information, we might give you
We might even interview you.
We might give you a phone number to call us for a live interview. Yeah,
we'll send you a link. You can come on the podcast show and talk about it with us.
So I want to talk about the bill of lading.
That'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Wow.
I just want to go over some of the stuff that we missed.
All right, yeah, go for it.
The one thing is we talked about making things legible and accurate for what you fill out, but I have picked up loads with the bill of lading where there was incorrect information.
Huh?
I've actually had a dispatcher give me someone else's bill of lading, and if I didn't know enough to check it, I would have been driving to the wrong spot.
Yeah.
But I knew where I was supposed to be going. I'm like, I'm not going to Kansas City. I'm going to L.A. Why are you giving me Kansas City paperwork?
We put the wrong load on your truck.
No,
Whoops.
No, I had the right load. I had the wrong paperwork. Or they put the wrong address in.
Yeah.
And that's how.
Because they have more than one address.
Yeah.
You know, more than one facility.
More than one facility.
I've come across that where I'm going. I picked up a load in Pennsylvania. I was supposed to go to Ohio, but they were sending me to Maine. And I'm like, they give me the Maine address, but that was the Maine office.
And then you have to call. They say, well, call our facility and they'll give you the address. And they give you the address or, well, I don't know, but we're just off of I-80. And this actually happened to me. And okay. I said, okay. What how exit
many,
number?
How many bridges are there?
She says, I don't know. I said, well, how do you get there? I drive.
Okay.
I said, where do you drive from? My house.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, oh God, spare me.
Did you put on the jewel bib when you did this dentistry?
I felt like, but anyway, I said, okay. I said, where do you live? And she says, I don't think I should give you that information. I said, could you tell me what town? I'm trying to figure out where you're at. I'm at work. You know that. You called me. I said, is there anybody else in the office I could talk to? Oh, I'm only supposed to forward very important calls. I said, I have a load for you. This is very important.
I'm the truck driver delivering your stuff.
I said, I know you're off I-90, but are you off of 90 and what intersection? What cross highway? Oh, I don't know. It's some highway.
Okay. Well, I need to kind of know that.
That's what I told her. I said, you don't know the exit number, you don't know the highway, and you don't know what town you're in. No. I said, do you know if you're north or south of Interstate 90? No.
Can I please speak with somebody that knows that?
I said, as you're standing there or sitting there at your desk, I said, is there anybody with inside of you? Like where you can look and see a person? I said, at this point, I don't care who it is. Is there any other person in the room? And she says, well, yeah, but it's just a visitor. I said, let me talk to him. So she says, okay. And she tells the visitor, you have a call. Do you mind taking it? And the guy's like, okay. And he says, I'm just here to see a salesman. I said, oh, good. I said, because you know how you got there, right? And he says, yes. I said, well, the receptionist I'm talking to doesn't. And I'm a truck driver trying to deliver a load. I just want to know what exit number or an address. How about a town? Because the company messed up my bill of lading and I don't know where I'm going except Ohio.
except in this direction.
Yeah. He gave me an address and exit number and directions.
Nice.
I was there before he left. We had a very good laugh, and that's back when I smoked and had a cigarette.
Had a cigarette with him.
I'd had a drink with him, but, you know, I don't drink and drive. So, yeah, make sure your bill of lading's correct.
Yeah. Because the people that'll screw up your pay, too.
Yeah, the people that fill them out in your office, they make mistakes. And if they go by mileage,
yeah,
if you get mileage pay and they put the wrong address in and you got to go an extra 200 miles, it's not free.
Comes out of your pocket.
Comes out of your pocket.
You're eating it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, make sure your paperwork's right. You always got to make sure. I call it keeping your ducks in a row.
It's like with hazmat.
And that's another story. That's another episode for another time.
Mm-hmm. But it has to be on your bill of lading that it's hazmat.
If it's hazmat, you got to know how to put a
placard.
Is it a placard or is it a place card?
It's a placard.
They have two different ones.
No, it's a placard.
But there's two different kinds. There's a placard, and then there's a place card.
They're all placards.
Placards are the diamond shaped. Place cards can be regular.
A place card is something you put on a table when you're having a big banquet, and it has a person's name on it. That's a place card.
Okay.
A placard is what you put on a tanker or a trailer.
Or a trailer with hazardous stuff in it. Tell me how you really feel.
I feel like someone that went to etiquette school and hazmat school.
Well. Didn't take long to burn that fire up, did it? To chrome or not to chrome?
Oh, don't even get me started. And that's another episode.
And that's going to be another episode.
You want to see some flames fly out of Janet? That's going to be a fun one.
How much more of the bill of lading do you want to touch? Or do you want to hold off on it and we'll just do an episode about it?
No, I just want to mention if you lose your bill of lading, it can not only cause you financial trouble, it can cause you legal trouble.
All I know is I know that when I was over the road, we had – The company had bill of ladings that they gave you, so if you needed to, you had them.
Yeah, you could fill it out on your own. But don't lose them. And if you have to send it back to your company, send it express.
Make sure
you, signature required.
You keep a copy for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you got your load numbers down. But I definitely want to, you know, circle back on, at another time and talk about these.
We can do that.
Because I know there's like...
a lot more information.
I know there's also, on top of papers, there's also some apps that can be used, and all sorts of new things, new technology that's coming out that can be also be used.
This is true. We can do an episode on. Sorry, I'm entertaining someone who wants to bark at me.
Yeah, I know. She was trying to bark at me, but I rubbed her ear.
Well, you should have told me your chin was wet.
I thought she was making that pretty clear.
No, she was making it clear that she was hungry.
No, I thought it was her mouth was wet.
I got a wet chin, Mom. Dry it, please. Please dry my chin for me.
We have pugs. And they have extra long tongues.
Especially one of them.
And when she gets a drink, she takes a bath. So she comes over to get her face dried off because she doesn't like her face all wet.
And her neck.
And her neck. And everything else in between. Going to make her infamous?
I'm going to make her infamous.
Oh, and there she is. Everybody, Makushla. Makushla, everybody.
This is our baby.
You going to lower the mic so she can talk? Say hi. Say hi. No?
She's like, I'm giving people the silent treatment. This is one of our babies.
Anyways, I want to say thanks to everybody for tuning in today to our episode.
I really appreciate it, too. Now she's going to talk.
Yep, now she's going to get in there. She's like, oh, Mom, what's this? Anyways, thank you for joining us today.
We truly appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed the show. And
come back again.
I forgot what we were going to say. We had something that we never wrote it down, so I forgot it.
But it was really cute.
But we'll definitely catch on the flip side.
Definitely.
Rubber side now, but we'll catch you on the flip side.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
18 Wheel Talk.
Thank you for joining us today. We greatly appreciate it. Be sure to stop by 18wheeltalk.com and check out all the affiliates mentioned in the program today. Remember, we're here coaching generations of drivers while guiding them on their path to success. We'll catch you on the flip side.
Spark the revolution.
So tell me, do you have one of those change buckets in your vehicle for fancy cafes?
Yeah.
And are you looking for a way to help support the show and just don't know how?
Well, we have great news for you. It is super easy and you can do it for as little as $3 a month. Yes, that's right, $3 a month. That means for the cost of a cup of coffee, you could support the show for a month. And if you order one of those foo-foo frappy thingamabobs with all those flavors and whipped cream and sprinkles on top, you could support the show for about 6 months.
Isn't that amazing? Saving you calories from that frappy thingamabob with all those flavors and whipped cream and sprinkled things on top. And help out the show. What's not to like about that?
So to do so, just go to 18wheeltalk.com/support, and you will see just how easy it is to support the show. And don't forget to pick out your fan emoji while you're there. That's 18wheeltalk.com/support.